What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is August 13th. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball, the dawn of a new May. Yeah, Dustin May had a very good start for the Red Sox yesterday. 6 innings, 0 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts with 12 whiffs on 92 pitches with 33% CSW as well against the Astros. And I will mention off the bat, yes, Dustin May should be better against a team like the Astros. Why? Because he's a sinker-slider guy, and that's a right-handed lineup. Now, they do have some lefties, but mostly the damage is done with the right-handers, so he should feast against them. Now, this, though, was very different. And we were wondering if May moving away from the Dodgers, going to the Red Sox, the change of scenery, Andrew Bailey and company, if this actually would mean a different version of May and unlocking things. And it's a very important moment to realize that, yes, the Dodgers we do speak highly of when it comes to pitching development. However, they are not the end-all be-all, right? They still are not going to necessarily dictate certain things to different players. And moving to a different organization can change them for the better still. So, what did Dustin May do? Well, a couple things. One, he threw all 4 of his pitches, four-seamer, sinker, sweeper, and cutter, not in that order, at least 20% of the time. All of them also, get this, had a 67% strike rate or better. Ooh, that's kind of already very interesting, right? What the Red Sox did is he actually raised his arm angle slightly. If you remember, Dustin May, very big sidewinder, would get all this horizontal movement in the sinker. At back in the day, 97, it fell to like 94 and change. And even though Dustin May raised it a bit closer to 1.1 height adjusted VA as opposed to 1.4, is the result, by the way. It does mean that the four-seamer is not as effective as it was before. However, two things. One, the horizontal movement is the same, which is good. Raising the arm angle, making the same horizontal movement means more surprising horizontal movement on that sinker. And it actually increases velocity. It's more of the natural arm slot for Dustin May, is my assumption here, over a tick harder to about 95 to 96, as opposed to 94, 95. So that's cool. That's some fun stuff. Now, also, the cutter filled the zone a ton, 43% CSW. You had the surprise heater upstairs to right-handers as well, with some hits that were down, but that was cool. Good locations on the sinker in the inner half to righties. Sweeper got away to lefties. Sorry, to righties away there. Now, the problem I have is the lefty approach still. The sweeper is doing too much of the work. It was about 50% usage, actually, on the dot. And they had some hittable ones. They didn't quite take advantage of them. But I really want to see more of those cutters going inside to lefties. I want to see the four-seamer get more involved a little bit. And try not to rely too heavily on the sweeper, because that should not be that effective as a more horizontal pitch to opposite-handed batter. It shouldn't be, especially that velocity. So I'm curious how this continues. I would not jump in quite yet as Dustin May gets the Orioles and then the Yankees. And the Orioles should send more lefties to the plate than the Astros, and the Yankees isn't fun. But then it's the Pirates after that. So I would see if this sticks around for 2 starts. And if the skills are still there, then we go after it against the Pirates. Kyle Freeland had a birthday party. 0 runs in 7.1 innings. I am so happy for him. It was outside of Coors in St. Louis. Got the win. Awesome. George Kirby gets aces, gonna ace, because he had a King Cole 37% CSW against Baltimore. Got the win, 7 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 7 Ks. It's all very good here. Right-handers are not getting as effective of a Blake Snell blueprint as they are lefties, as their counterpart of lefties, but I think that should come in time for Kirby, considering that sliders should be much better against them. Jacob Lopez is someone that you got to hold right now. It is a good series of matchups, and he just destroyed it against the Rays in Sacre Verde. 4 wins, 7 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 9 strikeouts. The slider messed up batters a ton. The cutter and four-seamer tease batters, where four-seamer only had a 50% strike rate, while the cutter had an 81%, and that's what you want. Because you want the four-seamer to be like, oh, you want to hit me? Oh, you can't. And then the cutter's like, I'm the four-seamer going away. No, I'm not. And that's in a really, really effective match. Pairing. You have the changeup going 80% strikes as well. And how this works is that he has 7 feet of extension. And also, as a southpaw, he steps away from right-handers. That is, he steps towards first base. It's a crossbody mechanics, which just makes it more deceptive. And everything has this extra little bit of horizontal angle now as he releases it, which then means it's really hard to tell how much the sweeper is going to move, how much the cutter is going to move, how much the four-seamer is not going to come back over the plate. It's really deceptive and good. And we see this on the other side with, say, like Freddy Peralta, with Adam Ottavino, Jake Arrieta are very famous examples of cross-body guys, which, as you might know, means that you get more movement, but generally not great command. And Jacob Lopez has been more consistent with it lately. If you are in rhythm with it, you kind of need to roll with it. Brady Singer, speaking of rhythm, oh my gosh, against the Phillies, had such a good feel for both his sinker and his slider. Got the win, 6 innings and 0 runs, 6 Ks, 3 hits and 0 walks, 71 pitches. Efficiency. And this was a slider being so good down and under the bat against lefties. He had the sinker going on the edges on both right-handers and left-handers, inside, outside. It was great. So I think that maybe it's worthwhile against the Angels, because that is a sinker slider pitcher's dream, going against so many right-handers. I wouldn't go after the Dodgers next. And the real problem here is that Singer, you don't know what kind of feel he's going to have on a given day. I hope he's okay. Freddy Peralta, speaking of which, oh my gosh, he's nearing ace is going to ace, I got to say, because he just destroyed the Pirates. 6 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts. 44% CSW on the four-seamer, and 11 over 44 whiffs combined on sliders and curveballs. That is what you want. Professor Chaos is on a indefinite suspension. Hopefully he never returns. Jose Berríos is the great undulator, and what that means is the opponent he faces does not matter in his performance. And guess what? Against the Cubs, he got the win. 5.1 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 4 walks, and 3 Ks. I was like, yeah, you don't want to do it, because first of all, it's Jose Berríos, who has a 3.74 ERA with a 1.26 whip now, which, by the way, that is within the realm of what the undulation is. It's absolutely bonkers. He goes up and down the entire season, but he's inconsistently consistent, where he's always between a 3.5 ERA and a 3.9. I mean, pretty much say for like the disaster of 2022 and the season shortened 2020, he's done that outside of his rookie year. It's like 8 seasons of that. It's nuts. He just does it. So you do what you want to do. You kind of know what the end result's going to be. Is that actually helpful for your league? You decide. Dean Kramer against the Mariners, 8 innings of 1 earned run ball, 6 base runners, and 6 Ks. The splitter was so good, 10 over 31 whiffs, but he's Dean Werewolf. We know this. And it's because the splitter is a volatile pitch. He also sometimes has good starts with his cutter, sometimes with his four-seamer. You don't know. So play that game if you want. He's a 15-team hipster, right? I don't really want to do it in 12-teamers unless I'm desperate. Carlos Rodon against the Twins. Got a win. 7 innings, 1 run, 1 hit, 2 walks, and 5 Ks. We'll take it. It's not the greatest version of Carlos Rodon. The changeup was just not there. 39% strikes on 13 thrown. Four-seamer and slider did well against right-handers. Cool. I removed his ace is going to ace tag. I'm not going to give it back next week. I really want to see him firing all cylinders first, but I'm very glad, especially for the Yankees, that Rodon stepped up. You have Yoendris Gomez. You probably don't know who that is, because I didn't really know who he was. He made a couple of relief appearances, but this was his first start against the Tigers. Got the win. 5 innings, 1 earned run, 1 hit, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts. He's on the White Sox. 16 whiffs. Whoa, what's going on here? He has an array of breaking pitches. Savant called it initially, it might have changed now, as cutter, slider, curve. I really see this as slider, sweeper, curve. So the cutter is more like a slider that just doesn't have as much drop as a normal one. And then the slider is really a sweeper that gets that horizontal, and then the curve is underneath that, right? So 88, 89 on the slider, 83 on the sweeper, and 81, 82 on the curve. And the slider and curve combined for 9 over 35 whiffs. That's pretty cool. The sweeper looked good, but it didn't get quite as many whiffs on it, and it was a little inconsistent. Now, I haven't mentioned the fastballs, and that's the biggest issue for Gomez. He's had terrible walk rates in the minors, and his fastballs are just not good. 93, 94, they don't have good movements, dead zone movement here. He does have a changeup that was misclassified as a sinker that he threw to lefty, so it was like 90 miles per hour on the quote-unquote sinker to lefties, but then all the ones to righties were 93 and 94. Nothing to note, in my view. And I think that we're going to continue to see the bad command of them as he just kind of made mistakes up and away to left-handers with that four-seamer. He didn't really look at too well against right-handers with him. That makes him very susceptible. And I do think the breaking stuff is good, but how well is he going to command those to mask the fastballs, not to mention it's the White Sox, and he doesn't have a start as of now. So I'm not interested in Yoendris Gomez. I'm Jack Leiter, 5 innings, 1 earned run. Yay, but 6 base runners, so that's a 120 whip and 3 strikeouts, and you didn't get a win, and he's not really doing anything special. Slider was just 9% usage, and the four-seamer, I guess, performed all right, but, like, I need the package. I need the whole thing. Nestor Cortez made another start for the Padres. This was after he was still ill, so I was like, okay, cool. Against the Giants, let's actually see what you got. 4.2 innings and 1 earned run, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts, 7 whiffs, 28% CSW. That's a little bit more interesting, right? I mean, obviously the 6 hits, sure, but, well, the four-seamer was 90 miles per hour. We want it to be like 91, 92. He didn't get a single chase on the pitch out of the zone. It is interesting to see they had 65% strikes, though, on a 61% zone rate and 0% chases. Thank you, Blue. And the cutter and changeup were good. These were, this changeup was actually kind of a new thing this year, and we hadn't really seen Cortez much. But this was 5 over 11 whiffs, and I'm really encouraged by that as a lefty throwing changes. That's what we want. Also, the cutter being an effective pitch is what you want, too. So, all right, he's going to go more than 79 pitches in his third start. He's going to get the Giants again. I think I'm okay with that one. But it's not destined for absolute domination. It's not the high ceiling. I think we're still going to have some ups and downs with Cortez. So if you have Jacob Lopez on the wire, Cam Schlittler, or Zebby, or even Emmett Sheehan, I would go for those. Spencer Arrigetti is another one. And speaking of Spencer Arrigetti, 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 1 hit, 5 walks, and 3 Ks. Is that actually good or not? Well, I'm going to talk about him and, of course, Emmett Sheehan and all the others after this break. So Spencer Arrigetti, 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 1 hit. Yes. 5 walks. No. 3 Ks. Just 4 whiffs. After you had double digit last time, Nick, like, you shouldn't be happy about this. And yet, I'm like, let's chill, all right? 7.3 feet of extension, 1.5 high adjusted VAA, and the four-seamer had a 54% strike rate. The curveball had a 50% strike rate. Those were his two most thrown pitches, especially the four-seamer, which is by far and away his most thrown one. 15% NC rate, which is bad, non-competitive rate on that four-seamer. And you see with the curveball, it's a 21%. So, yeah, that is your volatility. That's really annoying. We saw that at times last year from Arrigetti. But the cutter and the sweeper are looking phenomenal. So look, he's just 2 games removed from the IL. He has a good schedule ahead. He's still hard to square up. 5 whiffs, 1 hit. 5 walks, 1 hit, I should say. Like, he's on the Astros. They're going to need him. I'm still in on Spencer Arrigetti. Michael Wacha had a very Michael Wacha game. 5.2 innings of 200 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks against the Nationals. Got the win. Yay, against left-handed lineup. His changeup was fine enough, and so on and so forth. It's pretty boring, but yeah, that's Michael Wacha, so you know what you're going to get. Logan Allen, honestly, against the Marlins, did not do well, but 2 earned runs in 5 innings, it's kind of what you're looking for. I mean, maybe you wanted to win, maybe one more inning included. 4 hits, 4 walks, 5 Ks. He's not very good, and he went 42% strikes with 43 combined sweepers and changeups. Oh boy, no. They were low, though. Four-seamer was up. He was kind of doing the right thing. He's just a little bit missed it. Fine. He gets Atlanta next, who are not a good offense right now. You have Riley hurt. You have Acuna hurt. It might be okay. He does go longer than others, right? It is Cleveland, 93 pitches. If you need it, go ahead, but I don't really love it. Anthony Descafani went to the IL due to thumb soreness, and it's very sad. 3 innings of 2 earned runs. We obviously weren't going to touch that anyway. Jansen Junk is not a junk baller. 5 innings of 3 earned runs. Blah, 2 strikeouts. Don't go after this, especially against left-handed lineups, but, like, in general, don't. This was against Cleveland, and that's why a lot of breaking balls from a right-hander to a lefty is not quite as good. It's generally going to be cutters or four-seamers or change-ups that will take down opposite-handed batters. You have Victor Medeiros. You probably don't know who he is either. He made a start for the Angels, 4 innings, 3 earned runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, 3 Ks. Okay, the power of threes, right? 8 whiffs. 28% CSW, 72 pitches, blah, blah, blah. Look, he's a low arm-angled guy at 19 to 20 inches of horizontal run on his sinker, but it just had 56% strikes. And he has a sweeper and a slider that are, well, they have higher vert than the sinker, which is, I think, always interesting. But yeah, this isn't the kind of guy to go after. It's kind of fun, honestly, for me to see this kind of stuff because it's like going a different route than other people to try and get to the same end goal of success, but yeah, I don't think this is going to work out. Matthew Liberatore against Rocky Road could not do it. 27% NC rate on his curveball and his changeup. What? Four innings, 300 runs, four hits, one walk, three Ks. I just, against Rocky Road, Matthew Liberatore, please. I'm not going to do the same way. I think you've run into a wall. You're fatigued. It was a good first half, but don't let that burn your second. Shane Baz, oh gosh. I just feel that someday he's just going to break out, and it's like in a true way. Because this was seven innings, 400 runs, six hits, two walks, seven Ks. And I think I'm going to be in at the end of drafts next year. Like, I can't quit him. His four-seamer, I wish was better. 15 inches of vert, 6.4 feet of extension, average height adjusted VA, not fun, but that 97 at least. And the cutter that he's really leaned into, oh my gosh, 34% usage at 81% strikes and a 22% swinging strike rate. Beautiful. Now, he did have this inning, I believe it was the fourth, where he just kept allowing hit after hit after hit. He got into a lot of trouble, and it was three earned runs there. There was also some really bad luck with, like, balls dropping that should not drop. It was just painful. So, yeah, Shane Baz, you're better than this. You should perform at a higher level, but everything hasn't come together quite yet, right? The four-seamer needs to be upstairs. The cutter needs to be this overall pitch, and then this curveball needs to be underneath. And against lefties, he still has this changeup, but I think it should be fine with the changeup and cutter against the Guardians, Nationals, and Guardians in the next three. Lots of lefties, which means the curveball won't be as effective, but I think that's okay. Ugh, he's a hipster. Headache-inducing pitcher, stifling the entire roster. Good luck. 16 whiffs, 93 pitches in Sacre Verde. Just saying. Robbie Ray against the Padres. 6 innings, 400 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 4 Ks. Oh my gosh, he balked in a run in the 6th inning and lost the poor quality start. And he also allowed a 2-run shot off a slider. One of the rare ones he threw to a righty in this one. His changeup and slider feel was just not good. 50% strikes in the curve. This was just an annoying game for Robbie Ray. He'll be better. And he almost still had a poor quality start here against the Padres. Just saying, right? I mean, that's... Yeah, okay. Javier Assad returned, and he got to face the Jays in Toronto, which is not a fun thing to do at all. 4 innings, 400 runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, and 2 Ks. Yep. I never thought that Javier Assad was worth a pickup back in the day when he had those great runs. I just never saw anything interesting. I didn't see anything interesting here, but I could be wrong. I don't know if he's even going to stick in the rotation, but then again, they might move on from Cade Horton, but... The schedule's bad anyway. I just wouldn't touch him. Cool. Paul Skeens, 4 runs in 4 innings. He was limited, but 93 pitches. Just a bad day. A bad day. And he's also helping Zach Wheeler out because I want him to get the Cy Young. Not Paul Skeens. I want Zach Wheeler too. Travis Adams, 2.1 innings of 4 runs, 4 hits, 4 walks, and 2 Ks against the Yankees. And I just don't understand. Why are the Twins not calling up Mick Abel? Please, just pick him up. Or call him up. And then we pick him up. Because Mick Abel's dope. It makes us feel dope. And I think that Mick Abel and Zebby Matthews are both really good calls for next year in Minnesota. You have Mitchell Parker against the Royals, and it was just terrible. 5.1 innings of 5 runs. He had so many chaotic. This isn't going to work. It's annoying because he has a 7-foot extension, 93, 94 mile per hour fastball with like 18 inches of vert. And he just can't make that work. And then all the other things. It's just, yeah, sorry, Mitchell. Emmett Sheehan against the Angels, 5 innings, 5 earned runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 6 Ks. He got bamboozled a bit in the third for 3 earned runs and then settled down after that. He just wasn't able to put away batters. The slider had a good CSW, lots of cold strikes, but then couldn't get whiffs in 2 strike counts, couldn't get that down away to the right-handers of the Angels, as you'd think that Emmett Sheehan would soar in this one. Now, he does get a Dayton Coors, which isn't fun for Emmett Sheehan. It is a really good schedule after that, and so it'll go likely once a week. It's up to you if you want to hold through that. If you want to take a chance with someone else, I get it. Jack Flaherty, oh my gosh. I put out a video because this was just dumb. The fifth inning was essentially, he faced 6 batters in the fifth inning. He allowed 5 earned runs and earned 1 strikeout. The first 5 batters, actually, I think it was 6? No, 5 batters, he got to 2 strikes on all of them. All of them. And there wasn't one really good hit allowed. There was a bloop to left field. There was a line drive to right that was off the glove of Torres. There was a single to center that was a diving play that hit the glove and thought they caught it, but they didn't. There was a possible ground ball that was just past Gleyber Torres for a possible double play to get out of the one inning or one earned run. And then, of course, he left with 2 runners on and both scored. I mean, it was just dumb. Oh, yeah. Also, the flare from Luis Robert's shallow right center field for another run. It was just, he deserves so much better. He had a Gallows pole, 19 whiffs, guys. So 4.1 innings of 5 earned runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, and 6 Ks. He had 5 Ks. 5 Ks. And 3 hits, 1 walk, 4 innings, 0 earned runs before that. That's how bad it was in that fifth. That was so stupid. So I keep getting questions about Flaherty. Do we drop him? Do we drop him? I'm like, no. He deserves so much better than this, but I get it if you're just like, he's tainted right now. I get it. Clay Holmes, this Adobe has been weathered by the storms of the season, and you don't want to add him. You don't want him on your team. You can move on. 3.2 innings of 5 runs against the weakened Atlanta offense. 6 hits, 5 walks, 4 Ks. You just couldn't find strikes. Too many sinkers, and, well, really the secondaries weren't there. It was just bad. He's at 85 pitches, even though there are the limitations, I should say. Yeah, even when he goes a lot of pitches, he's still not very good. Like, the ceiling is not worth the floor. The risk is not worth the reward. You get a whatever. Don't have Clay Holmes. I'm almost there. Ranger Suarez against the Reds. 5.1 innings of 6 and runs, 10 hits, 2 walks, and 3 Ks. It was a careful Icarus. Sure, 3 innings in the 6th, but that would have been a poor quality start. He didn't have the command he normally has. It was a lot of donut command with the sinker where it was either down the middle of the place. We'll have 4 hits on that or his way out of the zone. So it was 48% strikes. That kind of set the tone for everything else. It was one of those days. I honestly feel that Ranger Suarez has warranted a hold and based on the track record. And also it was still like changeups and curves away from right-handers in the outer half and everything else in the inner half. Like it was still almost there. I wouldn't do anything here. But Spencer Strider, I might. 4 innings, 8 earned runs, 8 hits, 2 walks, and 2 strikeouts, 7 whiffs, 22% CSW. It was 3 home runs against the Mets. 2 of them were on fastballs down the pipe to right-handers for 4 runs. And then there was a slider at 1-2 that Nimmo clearly knew was coming. And he wrapped the bat around that one. And that was a 3-run shot. But really, the problem here is the same one I've been talking about for a long time. Spencer Strider at 96 miles per hour and dead zone movement is not good. He just isn't good. 1 whiff on 41 four-seamers, while his slider needs to be the dopest of dope. And it's pretty much he's breaking the Wasker rule, which means if you have a really good slider and not a good fastball, then you're not worth it. He doesn't have anything else added to help. The slider, when it's not going 12 whiffs, is just not killing it. It's like, it just brings him down. And the thing is, he gets the Guardians next. And I want to say that's okay because the left-handed four-seamer command was better, but the slider shouldn't be as effective. And generally, you should think about heavy right-handed lineups that would help out Strider because then that would give the opportunity for the slider to take over the game. So after Cleveland, then you'll get the Mets again, and then the Phillies, and then the Cubs. So the next four are just like, I don't really think I want to do this. And I would rather go after Jacob Lopez. I know that sounds nutso, but you can't really trust Strider. You should not expect the massive strikeout games against these tougher opponents. He's just not him. I'm really sorry to give you guys that news, but that is it for today. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.